All right, good morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're in this little message here, started last week on overcoming our daily sins as Christians. So this message is for those who have accepted Christ, they're born again, you're saved. It's not talking about getting saved. If you're not saved, you need to come to Jesus, repent, and trust him for your salvation. So this message is for Christians. So we know that we're not supposed to continue to sin, but we all struggle with it. Right, be honest, and be careful, I always say this, of looking at somebody else that I would never do that, and we saw that in chapter 1, right? We all struggle with different things, and one sin is not greater than the other in God's eyes. On the human side, of course, you steal a pencil, you're probably not going to jail, but if you steal $1 million, you're going to jail. So there's human consequences, of course, that are different. But we're exhorted to put away our sin. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and people argue who that is. Some believe it's chapter 11, those witnesses. Actually, it's the word martus. It's where we get the word martyr from. He says, "Let us lay aside," has the idea, "put away every weight." So weight here is not talking about sin, but things that draw us away from God and a close walk with God. We got to figure those out. Sometimes I'm spending 3 hours a day on a hobby, but I'm not even reading the word, right? So sometimes it's not bad things. And then he says, "and the sin which does so easily," that word has the idea of it easily entangles you, "besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Looking, that word looking totally means to fix your eyes on. When I took Linda to, on our anniversary, I took her to Central Park, and I wanted to go on one of those, you know, carriages with the horse. I've always seen it in the movies, like, I'm going to take her there for anniversary. And one thing I noticed is that every horse had those blinders on because there were so many people and so many distractions that the horse would go crazy. So they had those blinders. That's the idea here, this looking to Jesus, nothing else. The author and the finish of our faith, right? Obviously, Charlie, now it's the complete. He is free. He's in heaven. It's no longer faith. We still got to exercise faith. Him, it's sight. We kind of walk with Jesus, and then that completing part. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before you endured the cross. It means the idea he stayed under. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne. You can't help but read these verses and think of Charlie as I was putting this together, like all the people that went against him, right? But he endured, he stayed under, he kept giving the gospel. "For consider him that endures since contradictions of sinners against himself." Here is, of course, talking about Christ, but even other believers who have stood up. It says, remember that, and then lest you become weary and faint in your minds when you get persecuted, when external life isn't working out the way you want it to be. So I see in this chapter 2 here, six principles, if you will, or six things that help us to overcome our sin. And I spent a couple on last week. I'm going to get to the third one. I just gave it to you, and that's where I'm going to focus today. But the first one, real quick, is remember we have the most powerful lawyer in the universe. Verse 1 says, "My little children," again, endearing term, "these things I've written unto you that you sin not." Of course, he doesn't want us, the idea is habitually, over and over and over, right? So he doesn't want us to sin. Because John knows here, remember I talked about the Gnostics, they believe you could sin with your body, it's no big deal, as long as your heart's right with God, your spirit, which is nonsense. He's saying that's not true. Because sin will destroy your life. It brings destruction. And remember last week, I talked about we can't lose our salvation, but we can lose some things. And let me throw them on the screen real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I did it last week. We lose fellowship with God when we sin, right? Right? That close communion. Second, we lose the fruit of the Spirit, enjoying it, and then demonstrating it. Future rewards in heaven. At the moment we're sinning, we're not getting reward in heaven. Fruitfulness of being used by God at that moment. God's not going to use us, and we won't want to be used, by the way. And then the fifth one I gave you was faithful death. That's up to God. God can finally say, that's enough, I'm taking you home. That's up to him. And we'll talk more about that in 1 John 5:16 when we get there. But then the end of the verse says, And if any man sin, he knows we're going to sin, of course. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And we talked about that word last week, and he is our attorney. He's in heaven. He wins every case. And so Jesus paid the price, but he also is our attorney. He goes with what he has paid for. And it's incredible, this idea, because the next verse talks about, and he is the propitiation, means the acceptable sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There he's not saying everyone's saying, but it allows people to be saved, right? Everyone must decide to become a Christian, right? And then the second thing I looked at was by following the law or the scriptures, and I'm not talking about being under law, I'm talking about when we follow the word of God, we'll overcome sin. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him. And that's in the perfect tense, by the way. It's stating a certainty of fact. Like, the action is finished. If we keep his commandments, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby do we know that we are in him. He that saith, abideth in him, ought also to walk, even as Christ walked. So, remember I gave you four things how to know maybe you could be saved or someone else. Again, God only knows. And the first one was this, a change in direction. Like, you want to follow God's word now. When you're lost, you didn't want to follow God's word. I didn't. The second one was a change in desire. We saw that in 1 John 3:14. You have a desire to love the brethren. We'll get into that a little bit. But also, you know, be with God's people. It's awesome to be here. You want to hear the word of God. You want to read the word of God. I mean, that's what it's about. If you don't have that desire, you're probably not saved. Now, I know sometimes we all get discouraged and we're not here or things happen. The third thing was the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in 1 John 3:24. So you begin to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, but also you demonstrate the fruit. And the last thing I looked at was the decision you personally made. So everyone in John chapter 5 here tells us we have a record. John chapter 1 verse 12 says many has received him. So it's a decision you made to get saved. Those four things have to be present. And if they are in your life, then you're probably saved. And other people are saved. Again, I said, don't look at a snapshot of someone's life. But I want to concentrate back on verse 5. So it says this, for whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. I want you to see this connection, and it's not only here, but it's throughout the Bible. When we love God, we'll obey God. When we don't love God at that moment, we will not obey God. John chapter 14, 15, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. They're tied. You see it throughout the scriptures. I'll give you a great example. In John chapter 21, remember when Jesus, before he ascended, he was talking to Peter? And what did he ask Peter? Now we know he denied Peter three times. What did he ask him? Do you what? Do you love me? He asked him over and over, Lord, you know I love you. And then what did he say to him? Feed my sheep. Do you see the connection of loving God and obeying God and serving him? They go together. When we say we love God, and Kenny was praying about today, he's like, Lord, I don't know, I'm trying to say we love you. But at the moment we're disobeying him, we don't love God. We love the world. We're going to get to that. You can't love the world and God at the same time. It's impossible. So really think about what you really love. And I'm preaching to myself. And then verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth, this idea of abiding in Christ, in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So when we're abiding and remaining in Christ, the Christ life is going to be seen. We're going to walk in the word of God. But if we're not abiding, we're not going to please God. Now don't mess this up. Christ, if we accept Christ, the Father is pleased with our position. We're going to heaven. Because I've heard people say this, that we don't have to do anything to please God. That's not true. For salvation, that's true. But not for walking in this life. And I'm going to show you a passage. We'll throw it on the screen for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-5 says this. Furthermore, that we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to what? To please God. He's talking to Christians. This practical walk we're in. So we would abound more and more. This deeper walk with God, right? For you know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. And we'll see that later. The will of God is attached to this love of God, to being satisfied. I'll show you that at the end. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain. It means to keep oneself entirely away from fornication. We know that means, what, all sex outside of marriage. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that means just the passion of love, even as the Gentiles, which, you know, the Gentiles, just people who are lost, just live that life. They don't care about pleasing God. All right, now let me focus on, I just started it last week, another way that we overcome our sin, as Christians, is by not loving the world more than loving God and our brethren. Now, jump to verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is, this thing is true in him, in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes. So when we're hating our brother for whatever reason, if you have bitterness in your heart right now to a brother and sister in Christ, you are not loving God. And Jesus said it. You know the classic passage. We'll put it on the screen for you. John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment. It's the word new. Obviously, we're supposed to love God and love our neighbor. But he's saying this identification badge, this mark now will be a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. It says if. So when we're not, we're not showing that we're Christ-like. We're not showing Jesus to the world. Go to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, those inner cravings, if you will, and the lust of the eyes, that's covetousness, the pride of life, that's look at me, look what I do, look what I have, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now this Greek tense it's the idea of, do not keep loving the world like you used to. It's the idea behind this. Now let me give you some scriptures. It's not just here. James chapter 1 verse 27 says, pure religion, meaning living the right way for God, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows, their affliction, and to keep himself, here's the word, unspotted, aspalos. It means no blemishes from the world. And let me give an illustration. I always try to think, how can I show that a concept? A couple of weeks ago, I had paint, and I was going to paint something. So I started shaking the can, but it wasn't closed all the way. About a week ago, I didn't close it all the way. So what happened? I got spotted by the paint. I ruined a good pair of shorts. I was like, ah. So it's saying, look, are you spotted by the world, by how you talk and how you live? Is it seen on your spiritual clothing? That's what he's saying. And then a stronger verse, well, I shouldn't say stronger, they're all strong. James 4, 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, whoa. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity? That's just the word that means against God. Don't you know love in the world is against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's strong, right? I wrote this illustration later on, but I'm just going to bring it now. It's like this. When I love the world and the things in the world more than I love God. Now, we're going to get to, there's nothing wrong with creation and things in the world. As long as we love God first, we're going to those things are going to be okay. So I'll get to that later. But it's like this. Every time I love the world, we're saying, right to God's face, I don't love you. I love something better. And let me bring it home to you. It'd be like this. If I said to Linda, or Linda said to me, I don't love you anymore. I love somebody else. Could you imagine the person that you love the most, whoever that, I wouldn't want to put favorites, but you know what I mean. People around you love right now, and you went to their face and said, I don't love you. I love somebody else. You know how painful that is? How do you think God feels? It's spiritual adultery. Now, it goes further. When we love the world, we don't get persecuted. When we love God, we get persecuted to some degree. Obviously, Charlie was the nth degree because he was so public. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15, 19 and 20. If ye were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world, what? It hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, and Jesus said nothing wrong. You know, sometimes people say, oh, pastor or whatever, it's like, oh, it's the way you said it. I'm just making this up. I'm just trying to say it. It's that people will use something to say, and it's like, Jesus never said anything wrong. He had the right attitude, everything, always, and people hated him. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my sayings, they will also keep yours also. So I want you to see that, and I say it a lot on Wednesday nights because we're talking about witnessing, we'll witness as far as we're willing to suffer persecution. That's how far we'll go. We won't go any further. Now, this idea here in this text is that we have to set our mind on eternal things. And I gave you the four last week when I left. I want to focus on those four, right? So we have to focus on eternal things, not to love the world and not to continually sin. And these are the four ones, and I want to go over them right now. All right? So we need to spend more of our time thinking on the eternal things than the external things. The first one is the supreme Godhead. God is eternal. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it talks about Jesus was from the old, from everlasting to everlasting. So God is eternal. He is a personal God that loves you so much. And he wants to get to know you. You first have to come and accept his son, God himself. And once you know him, you're saved. Now he wants to have this deep walk with you. But at the moment we love the world, that fellowship is broken. And knowing God is better than knowing me or anybody else sitting next to you or anybody else in the world. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious. I'll tell you what, we're not always gracious. Right? You offend somebody, they only go so far to get, if they're in the flesh, it's true. The Lord is gracious. He is full of compassion. He is slow to anger. He's of great mercy. Jesus wants us to live and walk with him and be like him and respond correctly in tough situations. His wife, you know, I didn't really follow Charlie a lot. I saw some of his videos. But then now, even Linda, some of the people she works with, all people never even heard of him. They're watching all his videos. Lost people is the greatest thing. Again, I'm not saying every jot and tittle, but what I'm just saying, he demonstrated Christ. The funny thing is some people say, well, I don't like, you know, everything that he does. I remember D.L. Moody said, somebody came up to him and said, I don't like how you witness. And he says, well, how do you witness? He goes, I don't really have a way. He goes, I like mine better. So these are people who criticize, so, hey, he's doing that, the way, like, what are you doing? But the one thing his wife said was, she went on an interview to get a job. He met her at a place in Manhattan, and he's interviewing for a job, and at the end of the interview, it was like 3 hours long, and he said, I'm not going to hire you, because I want to date you. Yeah, and she was like, she said she walked home all the way home, talking to her mother and all this stuff. You have to watch the video, it's really cool. She was just being honest, and she said, Mom, sorry I didn't get the job, but I think I got a boyfriend. But the one thing she said was, we went out on the first date, and I remember how he treated the waitress. See, that's what she saw. She saw Christ's likeness. Some of his buddies were saying, I guess she was Miss Universe, she's really beautiful. And he's like, you're way out of your league, bro. You ain't going to get this girl. I guess one of his friends said that. But he was just Christ's likeness. And then she said, we went on trips together. And I saw, he goes, it's so stressful on trips. The room's not ready. The car's not this or that. And I saw him react in those situations. You see, that's what he lived. He lived Christ-like. They say behind the scenes he was just a normal person. He didn't really want to be pushed up front. But that's what God wanted him to do. Be honest with you, I don't really like standing up here. I'd rather disciple somebody. I told somebody the other day, I like the one-on-one, get in their life, help them, roll up my sleeves. Come on, let's follow Jesus together. That's more me. I just do this because he's called me. I'm not the greatest at it. I get it. But I have a heart for you want to know Jesus and keep growing with Jesus. I'm not perfect. I know you're not perfect. The second thing is the scriptures. They're eternal. A couple of verses you know. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Now, I was thinking about this. Think about it. The word of God's never going to go away. Well, why do we spend so little time in it? And so much more other time on the internet, watching TV. And I'm not saying all of that is wrong, but like we spend so much time doing that, and it's not eternal. It doesn't make sense. One of the things I'm trying to do when I drive in the car, when I don't have somebody in the car, is just trying to memorize scripture. You know, just memorize it. Like, hey, so I challenge you, when you're in the car, wherever you listen to godly music, memorize the word, listen to podcasts that are talking about God, whatever. Fill your mind with the scriptures. That's eternal. Instead of knowing every country song and I'm not saying, I'm gonna get feedback from this. You know, oh, country magic. And I said, look, I'm not saying some of that stuff is not all from the devil. But all I'm just encouraging you is to focus on eternal things. So come October, we follow Bible Pathway here. You read through the New Testament from October, November, December. So I challenge you to read through the New Testament for the next 3 months. I have extra ones. You want one? I'll give it, summarizes it. So I challenge you to do that. All right. The third one is souls. Now, what I mean by souls is not just lost people, saved people. Because everybody has a soul. I tell people this, being prejudiced as a Christian, it's like, are you kidding me? There's no such thing. Everybody has a soul. They just have a different covering. That's all it is. It's a covering. You're focused on the covering. It doesn't even make sense. It's their soul. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. Think about it. When you go to work, don't look at your employees If you're a boss or employers, just keep harping all over them, all the people, stop it. Go in there praying for their salvation. Praying, Lord, may I shine Jesus to them. Your work will totally be different. If you're just going, I just got to make money. I hate this job, I'm just making money. Change that. I'm not saying you can't get another job, but just change it. Start thinking about people's souls. And maybe there's Christians there. So you're thinking about them. So from a law standpoint, we're trying to live Christ and then speak about Christ so they could get saved. For the saved person, we're trying to edify them, to build them up in the faith. Charlie was good at this too. So many people said, when I listened to some of these testimonies, that he has inspired me. Now I'm talking about when he's living. He's inspired me. And his wife were saying, he sees in people what they don't see, and he's taken them beyond, like things they're doing they never thought they would do. He says, why don't you start a business? Why don't you do this? Why don't you? And he just inspires people. Even some of his friends that he knew weren't believed exactly like him. He loved them, whether they were straight, gay, whether they were this, whether they were that, whether they believed in, and whether they were Jewish or whatever. And so many people around was like, well, I love this guy, and he cares about me. He wouldn't compromise the truth, but he still loved those people. Now, I always have this problem. All right, let me give you one scene of this idea of souls, lost and saved. So I do want you to turn to this passage, Matthew 25. This is a scene in the future. Again, we believe, other good people I know don't. We believe the rapture could take place at any time, 7 years of tribulation, then Jesus is going to physically come to the earth. This is that scene of him coming back. All right? Again, a dispensational viewpoint, if you will. All right, verse 31 says this, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, his physical return, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. You're talking about the Gentile nations. And they shall separate one individually from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep. So here we have the sheep and the goats. What are the sheep? The believing Gentiles. And the goats are the unbelieving Gentiles when Christ comes back. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, like place of blessing, of honor, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry. Now he's talking about during the tribulation, these things are happening. The Christians are, and you'll see here the strangers talking about the believing Jews in verse 35, how they took care of them. They risked their lives. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. Again, here's the believing Jews. They're not the sheep and the goats. You got to separate all this. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison. You came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer say, Lord, when saw we thee hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as you've done it unto one of the least of these brethren, the Jewish believers during that time, because they're going to be persecuted huge during that tribulation. They are now. This is going to be way more than that. Verse 31, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, those unbelievers. People don't like this, but it's the truth. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. The lake of fire is eternal. Prepared for the devil and angels. God didn't create it for people. He created for the devil and the demons. But people go there because of their unbelief. For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was stranger and you took me in not. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick, in a prison, you visited me not. Right? All the things that I just talked about. Know that you're saved. You love the brethren. Right? You're following God's word. They didn't have that. When we saw thee hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick in prison, did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer and say unto him, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of my brethren, you did it not unto me. And these, the goats, the unbelievers, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everybody's soul is going to go somewhere. It's going to end up somewhere. Now, the way to stay sensitive to souls is to first sit at the feet of Jesus every day. Because if you don't, you're going to just try to make it in the world every day. That's what's going to happen. But if you sit at the feet of Jesus and you say, I'm praying for Joe at work. I'm praying. Sometimes I'm coming to the church. I know who's going to be there. I'm already praying, Lord, maybe I encourage Ken. I encourage Aiko today. You know, Lord, I'm going to the green. Lord, but give me divine appointments. You got to pray those things. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. Lord, give me boldness. Take the blinders off so they could see. It's in the scriptures over and over again. I was praying for Linda the other day. She had to work a double. It's like, Lord, I want to curse Linda. And then what does the Holy Spirit say? Go do the laundry. Go shopping. She usually does the shopping. Do you see? What I'm trying to say to you is when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you're sensitive to the souls in front of you every day. But if you don't, you're just going to go in life just trying to make it. Even though you really want souls to be saved, even though you want to edify those people around you, but you won't do it. I know because I failed at this. I've also had some sex success in it this week with my wife. I wanted her to come home and say she has to do nothing. Yeah. Who said, I don't do the laundry. I didn't really do the laundry before either. She did it. I remember the first time, honey, show me how to use this machine. All right, the last one, write down the word spirits. Spirits. And here I'm talking about angels and demons. They are eternal. Right? God created all the angels. Satan was one of them. Right? But he chose to rebel and said, I want to be like God. He revolted. Most believe a third of the angels went with him, became the demons. And now they're against God, looking to devour you. If you're a Christian, he can't get you back into his kingdom. If they're lost, he wants to keep blinding them so they don't come to Christ. But there's also angels. What are angels for? To fulfill God's purpose, his will. And one of those wills is to help believers. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of Christ for believers? I mean, you've heard stories about missionaries and said, look, the savages were coming, and then they just all went away. And they say, oh, I saw these angels. I saw these big men. Yeah. But then there's also demons. And the demons do not want you as a Christian to edify nobody, not to glorify God, to get to know God, not to witness. So what do we have to do? See, this is the part I don't think that we really take serious. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, we fall into this, even as Christians. Oh, this person over here, this guy at work, this Christian is doing this, blah, blah, blah. And we get on the human level. And now we're fighting there. It's a spiritual warfare. Against principalities, higher demonic realm, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We were out witnessing this week, and Ken was out there, and a person was walking up, and I knew they didn't really want to talk to us. So I was, and Ken doesn't know, I was behind praying, Lord, I pray this guy, and I pray he'll just sit and listen to the gospel at least, and just going back and forth. And then I see this guy just kind of open up, and he stayed. And he was able to share with him. Right? So I think we miss that, and that's why what I'm trying to get to this four E's, and I'll end here. As I told you about a couple years ago, I try to do this now. I'm not perfect at it. So get up, enjoy God. Get to know this great supreme Godhead. Get in the scriptures, and that will lead you to, you'll exalt him, you'll edify the brothers that day, and you will try to win the lost through how you treat them, the words that you say. Then, the end of that day, it was a successful day. It's not about the results. It's not about who saw it, how big it is, or this or that. I had to throw all that away, and it's like, that was a successful day. Because I focused on the eternal things. I won't be able to continue here, but come next week. It's like a spiritual soap opera, right? Come next week, and we'll talk about how we can love God, but yet still enjoy the world, the things in the world, the creation of God. And I'll go through that next week, all right? Father, we thank you for the word of God. It is so powerful. First, everybody here with their head bowed, their eyes closed, the first thing I always ask is, do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? Are you born again? Have you repented from what you're trusting in? Right? You can't be saved by being a good person, going to church, being baptized, all those things. People are going to get baptized today. Now, they already were saved. It has nothing to do with salvation. You got to repent, turn from what you're trusting in, and trust Jesus Christ only. God himself, who paid for your sin. He was buried, he rose again. You put your faith only in him. That's what you have to do. Please come and talk to me. Talk to someone else. Please accept Christ today. If you have done that, then let me ask you today, are you focusing on eternal things or external things? If it's external, you're worrying to death. I've done it. You're trying to find happiness in a person, in a place, in some career, in this. And again, those things aren't wrong in themselves, but you'll never be satisfied in that. You have to walk with God and be satisfied by him, and then you'll enjoy those things correctly and not use those things. So do you love God more than the world? I know we all can say that sometimes, that we don't. And I'm praying this week that you get up in the scriptures and spend time with God. Don't let anyone or anything steal that from you. And you'll focus more on eternal things that day than external things. And it'll be a successful day at the end of that day. And those days will turn to years. And then one day you'll go home, and I believe Charlie heard, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear that. So forget the past. Say, "Lord, forgive me. As a believer, for loving the world more than loving you, and I'm going to start focusing on the eternal things. And I thank you that you promised that you'll take care of the external things. We seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, being like Christ. All these things that we worry about will be taken care of." That's a promise. Well, if you've been a Christian a long time, you know that. I quote it so much. But do we really live it? Is the question. So Father, forgive me, forgive us, and we sit at your feet, that we'd be more like you, we have this great fellowship with you, and that we'd edify the believers, reach the lost, glorify you, and we'll fight on our knees, putting on the armor against Satan and demonic realm. And we thank you for the angels that watch over us and protect us according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.